is the story of Jesus encountering the disciples at the Sea of Galilee. The title of the sermon is Going Fishing. I'm going to give my introduction first before Alan reads the text. Going fishing. Now, how many of you have ever gone fishing with any of your kids? All right. It's kind of like the iconic thing that you do, right? My dad took me fishing and my brothers. We caught northern pike up in the lakes and rivers up in Alberta, Canada. And I did that with my brother just outside. We lived about a block away from the Red Deer River. And he loved to go fishing. He dragged me along with him, his little brother. Somewhere earlier last year, my son, who's going to be 21 this year, said to me, Dad, you know what we've never done? Yeah, you guessed it. We've never gone fishing. Like, son, you and I have done Boy Scouting together for 10 years. We've gone spelunking. We've gone hiking. We've done everything. Yeah, but Dad, we haven't gone fishing. So, last summer, we had the privilege of going to the Gulf Coast, and we had a week-long vacation, and I arranged to go deep-sea fishing at the end of the week. Yes, I'm going to do this thing. Well, we get to Friday morning. Those people call up and say, the seas are too rough. The seas are too rough. You cannot go fishing. Well, of course, Matthew was a little bit disappointed. Sorry, son. I'm like, do I get points for that? So that's one thing that's on my bucket list to do with my son. And I hope that I have an opportunity to go fishing with him sometime. The story that we're reading today is about going fishing. The disciples are up in Galilee at the Sea of Tiberias, the Sea of Gennesaret. It's got lots of different names, the Sea of Galilee. And Peter says, I'm going fishing. And the other disciples say, okay, let's go fishing. These people were professional fishermen. That's what they did before they got called. And so they have gone, and maybe it's out of boredom, maybe it's out of, well, this is what we need to do. Maybe they were hungry. I mean, what was their source of income, by the way? Maybe they were just going fishing to get food. Whatever the case may be, we go fishing for different reasons. We're going to look and listen to this story today. And of course, Jesus is that great fisher of men who's called us to do the same. Alan, I'd like to ask if you could read the scripture.
It's okay, I probably have it memorized, right? After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana, in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. They said to him, we will go with you. They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, children, do you have any fish? And they answered him, no. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, it is the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place, with fish laid out on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you have just caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Now none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. When Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead.
This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
This scripture, beginning in verse 1 of John 21, starts with the words, "And Jesus revealed himself to his disciples." And at the end of this story, and now this was the third time that Jesus had revealed himself to his disciples. That's kind of a clue that the Apostle John, as he writes, is saying, this is all about Jesus revealing himself. Jesus is the one who had said to his disciples, "I'm going to meet you, I'm going to talk with you, I'm going to spend time with you in Galilee." We're talking right now about the 40 days between his resurrection and his going up to heaven. And so the scripture says that there were numerous appearances, actually, of Jesus during that time. He appeared to Cephas, and he appeared to Mary Magdalene and the other women. He appeared to the disciples. He's appearing here. One of the commentaries made the comment that even though John says that this was now the third time that he had appeared himself to the disciples, there may be many other appearances, and John may just be restricting himself to the three times that he is making reference to, which John is well known for, because his whole gospel is about seven miracles and the seven major teachings of Jesus. And at the end of John 20, which came just before the reading of this text, he says, "Now I suppose that if we recorded everything that Jesus did, essentially not all the libraries in the world could contain the books." So John is saying, I'm restricting myself to specific things, and the purpose of that is to show who Jesus is. Even in this story, it says, "And no one wanted to ask him, 'Who are you?' Because," why? "They all knew that it was the Lord." My message today is going to focus on three things about Jesus. That Jesus is, number one, present. Number two, that Jesus is personal. And finally, that Jesus is powerful. Present, personal, and powerful. Here we are in Galilee. Do you recall that in the Gospel of Matthew and Mark, the angel of the Lord said to Mary Magdalene, "Go and tell the disciples what you have seen, and also tell them that I will meet them." In where? Galilee. Why Galilee? Jesus' ministry covered approximately 3 years, and the bulk of his ministry happened in the region of Galilee. In fact, it all started there. Nazareth is in Galilee, not far from the lake, mind you. And so Jesus is essentially saying, let's go back to where it all began. And you'll see this as we talk about this story, that there's another story early on in one of the gospel accounts that harkens back to this very story. So you see, the angel has said to Mary, "Go, tell, and I will meet them in Galilee." And here we are in Galilee at this beautiful sea. It's really just a sweet lake. The Jordan River runs into it one end, and the Jordan River runs out on the other end. Last year, we had the privilege of actually being at the place where they believe this story occurred. And at one point, I'm standing on the shore, and I'm just kind of testing to see. And so I was like, "Hey, boys, did you catch any fish?" I was just having some fun, right? That's putting yourself in that place. And Jesus, of course, is present there. Jesus shows up in our lives. Now, the disciples clearly have obeyed the instructions given by the angel to Mary. They've left Jerusalem. By the way, they've already had some encounters with Jesus that first resurrection Sunday. But now they have gone back to Galilee. And they're waiting. Isn't fishing a waiting game? It's a lot of waiting around. Sometimes you catch, sometimes you don't. Peter says to his friends, "I'm going fishing." And I love that Peter's the one that says that. So Peter's the professional fisherman, yes. But Peter is also the impetuous one. Okay, Jesus told us to go up to Galilee and wait. Well, I'm not sitting here in my hands. I'm going to do something. So consistent with Peter's character, by the way. Always the first one to open up his mouth and stick his foot in, you know, doing crazy and impetuous things. And the disciples, his friends, take up the gauntlet that he's thrown down, so to speak, and they're like, okay, let's go fishing. So they go fishing. They go in their boat, and it says there, they fish all night, and what happens? Nada. Nothing. They don't catch anything. Well, this happens. It's a little dispiriting, I suppose, for professional fishermen, right? Because presumably these professional fishermen should know where the fish are and when they bite. We understand that sometimes night fishing is more effective than day fishing. You people who know a thing or two about fishing will understand the reasons for that. But the point is, they catch nothing. Jesus is present here, however. Where is Jesus? He's on the shore. What is Jesus doing on the shore? He has made a fire, and he is preparing fish and bread on that fire. And it says there in the text, it is dawn, the beginning of the day. The sun is just coming up. And Jesus yells out to his disciples. Of course, his disciples don't know who this man is. But he says, hey, boys. In one of the translations, it says, children. Children, have you caught any fish? Hey, boys, any luck last night? I can just imagine Jesus saying that. A little playful. These are his disciples, after all. That word that is used here, paideion, is where we get the word pediatric from. Everywhere in the scripture where that word is used, it's referring to children. I love how playful Jesus is in this moment. He's present, he's there in the moment, and he's having a little bit of fun with these guys. These guys are all in the prime of their life. We're not sure how old they are, but probably in their late teens and early 20s would be a good guess. Maybe a tiny little bit older. Strong men. By the way, Peter proves his strength and his prowess, because in the story we see at the very end, he literally hauls in the whole net and brings it up on shore. I don't know if he did that by himself, but this guy's a strong guy. Jesus is present there. What's the response of the disciples to this stranger on the shore asking if they've caught any fish? No! Do you detect a little frustration in there? A little curtness? No! They haven't caught any fish. So this man makes a suggestion. He says, throw it on the other side. Throw the net on the right side of the boat. This is a cue to them. I want to ask you, about Jesus' presence. These disciples must have wondered, where's Jesus? These random appearances that are taking place. They're out in the boat. They're asking themselves questions, of course. They're probably wondering, what's our purpose in life? We've seen all these great things happen. Some crazy stuff has happened now in Jerusalem. Here we are in Galilee. What are we going to do? What are we supposed to do? Well, they're going back to what they know to do. But now bring this fast forward to your own life. Do you ever ask the question, Jesus, where are you? Jesus, where are you in this circumstance? Been working all night, hard work in the dark, with nothing to show for your labors. I detect some frustration here. And I think in those kind of moments, we ask that question, Jesus, where are you? I want to encourage you, as you pray in those moments of, Jesus, where are you? Think of the words of the psalmist who said, weeping may last through the night, but joy comes with the morning. And they are about to encounter joy in Jesus. Because Jesus is about to reveal himself. We looked at the fact that Jesus is present. Jesus is taking the initiative to show up in this difficult moment for these disciples. And there he is on the shore of the Sea of Galilee preparing breakfast. Jesus is personally there for us. As I said, this phrase, "Children, did you catch any fish?" Jesus knows, of course, that they haven't caught any fish. And Jesus is being kind of playful with them by the use of this word. And Jesus is making a connection. There is that sweet tenderness. Jesus has had a relationship with these young men for several years now. And he wants to push that. Jesus has a personal connection with each and every one of these disciples. I love that Jesus comes to us asking questions. Don't you think it's beautiful? Jesus knows all things. And Jesus could have said, "Hey, I know you haven't caught anything." Jesus is so tender. It reminds me of the encounter that he had with Mary not so long before this. Remember, Mary is there in the garden, and Mary sees someone. She doesn't know who it is. She assumes it's the gardener. And she has this conversation, and her tears just pouring through her eyes. And Jesus says, "Why are you crying? Who are you looking for?" This is our Jesus who comes so gently to us, and he asks questions. He knows the answer to all of these things. Why does he ask these questions? Because he is so personal with us. And he comes to us, and he's really drawing out from us our deep longings, our deep questions, what is really going on in our heart. Jesus is probing. Jesus wants to engage Mary. He wants to engage the disciples. And he wants to engage us with the questions that he poses. Even though Jesus already knows the answer, he is getting us to think about our needs and to articulate them. So we see the disciples, and maybe you can detect an air of frustration when they say, "No." And Jesus says, "Throw your net over on the other side, and you will catch some." You will have a catch, it says there. You will have a catch. Now, I wonder what was going on through their minds in that moment. Have you ever heard of the expression, fish or cut bait? That means a lot of different things. I understand it to mean that you do something for a while, and at some point you say, I'm not getting any further here, and it's time for me to just cut bait. Okay? It's not going to be a waste of my time. How many of us in our lives that we have entered into things in faith, not knowing for sure what the Father has for us, but we say, "I want to fish. I want to put lines in the water here. I don't know which ones are going to get some nibbles and which ones I'm going to catch a fish on and how big the fish is going to be." Isn't that an act of faith when we do these kind of things? We don't have the mind of God. God shows us his will, but a lot of times it's through doing. We just do it, and then we step out in faith. Jesus says, "Wisdom is known by her children," right? What does that mean? A lot of times, you and I will not know the wisdom of a particular action of faith that we take until it has results, until it has fruit, until it has children, to use those terms. And that is what Jesus is calling us to in our lives, to step out in faith. We don't know whether it's going to yield or whether it's not going to yield, but he's asking us to trust him. Jesus is so personal in his approach to us. Jesus knows each and every one of them individually as disciples. He knows their names, and he knows each one of us. And I would dare say that Jesus interacts with each one of us here in this family in very unique and specific ways because he knows what's going on in our lives. And I challenge each and every one of you to listen to the voice of the Lord and to take steps of faith. William Carey, one of the great missionary forefathers of the Protestant Christian movement, said something. I'm taking a perspectives class with a few other people in this church, and I just read this several weeks ago. He said, "Expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God." And I love the order of that. This is an expectation. All eyes are on you. The eyes of all look to you, O God. He is all supply. So we can expect great things from him. But he also challenges us individually and personally to take those steps of faith. Not just to expect those great things, but also by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to attempt those things. Father, what would you have me do? Where would you have me put those fishing lines, so to speak? Where would you have me throw the net, if you will? Jesus is calling us to do that. And he called the disciples to do that. It reminds me of the story in Luke 5. At the very beginning of the ministry of Jesus, where Jesus is calling his disciples. Jesus is teaching in Galilee, and he comes to a place, and he sees there's a couple of boats, the fishermen on the side, they're repairing their nets, and he gets into one of the boats, and he starts to preach. Then he's done, and he says to one of the fellows there, turns out to be Simon Peter, by the way, "Go out and catch some fish." What does Peter say? We've been fishing all night. But because you say it, I'll go. They went out and they caught a bunch of fish. It says there, interestingly, in Luke 5, that the nets were so full that they were breaking. I think that's an interesting contrast, by the way, to the story here. Because in this story, when Jesus says, "Throw your nets on the right side and you will catch something," and they catch something, there are 153 big fish in there. But the nets did not break. I love that. You have a group of disciples who basically don't even know who Jesus is. And they're just acting on his word. They're throwing their nets in, which they had just been repairing, by the way. Who knows? Maybe they hadn't finished repairing their nets. That's the beginning of the ministry, when they were just learning who Jesus is. Right here, they are days away from the empowerment of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. And it is God who is going to do this work. And he is going to catch up a mighty harvest through these people. Simon Peter, in that first story when he got called, came up to Jesus, fell on his knees, and said, "Please go away from me. For I am a sinner. I'm unworthy to be in your presence." And what does Jesus say? I can just imagine Jesus kind of taking his hand and say, "Stand up there. I get that. And here's the deal. You have been fishermen. I will make you fishers of men." We see that Jesus is present there, showing up in the lives of his disciples, even at unexpected moments. And he will show up in our lives at times when we have been weeping through the night. And he is present there. Jesus speaks our name. Jesus knows each and every one of us. Jesus has not forgotten you. Maybe you're in a difficult place right now. Jesus loves you and he cares for you and he speaks your name. And Jesus is powerful. Jesus is all supply. Jesus can command the storms and Jesus can command the fish. This great Jesus of ours, He is all-powerful. Trust in Him. Entrust yourselves to Him. Jesus invites us to a meal, not dissimilar from the meal, by the way, that He invited the disciples to come to. Remember there on that shore, He's frying up some fish, baking some bread, and He meets them in their need. It's rather everyday. It's rather mundane. Jesus making breakfast for His friends. Jesus does that for us. And Jesus invites us to His table. Jesus prepares a meal for us. And Jesus is present here. It's a mystery how Jesus Christ is present in the meal. But He says, "This is My body. This is My blood. Eat and drink." Christ is present with us. Christ comes to us personally and individually. If you know that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, He invites you to come to this table. And Jesus Christ is powerful. In this meal, Jesus, by His Spirit and by His grace, preaches to our hearts the gospel. That though we are unworthy, He loves us with a never-stopping, never-ending, always and forever love in Jesus Christ. Come to the table. Amen.